You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
From our studio to yours, this is Various Artists.
Ahi ahi mari e tēnā koutou katoa, ko mea toka ingoa, nau mai, hari mai ki Various Artists mō tēnei wiki. You've just got me on the show today, Soph is away. I feel like we have been ships in the night recently. We haven't hosted a show together in, I think, three weeks. But don't you worry, we'll be back together next week. But I had a very busy week interviewing. FIRKNA coming up on the show today, I caught up with curator and artist Millie Dunstall about Portal, showing at Artspace Aotearoa's The Kit. Alongside Millie's interview, I also spoke to two of the 17 artists showing within Portal, Emma Stritch and Kiang Barrow. I also spoke with Fiona Connor about her current show on at Coastal Signs, Blanket Games. And alongside Fiona, I also spoke with Bailey Connolly about their artist collective, Polyhymnia. He aha o whakara, we'd love to hear your thoughts on these pieces. So tuku pitsahi mai, you can text us on 5395-5 Wai mai rane, or give us a call in the studio on 309-3879. Also after the show, you can catch all of these chats and more by podcast on the 95BFM website, 95BFM.com. Let's get into the show.
Oh, that's a good art.
Portal is a new group exhibition showing at The Kit, which brings together 17 artists who had volunteered at Artspace Aotearoa over the past 2 years. The show circulates this idea of revisitation, with each artist returning to a past artwork and redeveloping it within the space of collective renewal and shared experiences, highlighting the circulative process of artists, how this act of revisiting, redeveloping, and responding come together to produce this regenerative cycle of work. Each cycle gathering new experiences and connections, fueling the next circulation of work to come. Firstly, I caught up with the curator of Portal, Millie Dunstall, who is an artist from Waihee currently based in Tamaki, working amongst an interdisciplinary practice. We spoke on the curatorial process of Portal as well as her own artwork within the show. Here it is now.
My name is Millie Dunstall, and I'm currently working across mediums with photography, mark making and sculpture. I feel like at the moment I'm really interested in leaning into local tourism of my hometown Waihee and doing like a documentation and retrospective kind of style of work that really leans into figuring out like what it is that's important to me in that place, and the like emotional effect that spaces can have and how that can translate into work, but then also like across people.
Beautiful. And alongside your own artistic practice, you, you're also the curator and also one of the 17 artists included in Artspace Aotearoa's volunteer group show Portal, showing at The Kit. I wanted to start off by asking how the show kind of came about. What was the kind of starting momentum behind bringing these past and present Artspace volunteers together?
So Emma Savage and Laura Watson, who are two of the people that I volunteered with last year, kind of came to the group and said, we're keen to do this, is anyone else keen? And the group kind of expanded and contracted as we kind of even like figured out what it was that we wanted to do. We had a meeting in the general library and it all kind of just started with a conversation trying to figure out what connected us all, apart from being volunteers together, like if we had any through lines with our practices.
Lovely. And the show circulates this idea of collective reflection, with each artist redeveloping an existing work for the show, which is such a beautiful lifting point for the show to be given an invitation for revisitization within such a held space. What drew you and the group to the circulation of revisiting?
I feel like it's quite a natural thing that people do within their practices, but our group is made up of a lot of quite early career artists who, I feel like when you kind of come out of art school, you have this point of contention where you're like, I need to make the best work ever. I can't afford to make anything bad. Like, if I'm going to do this, my output has to be perfect, and it can kind of mean that you prematurely abandon ideas. And I personally feel like I always am thinking of something and I'm like, that's a great idea, and then I'll just forget and keep moving on and the ball rolls. So a way to make sure that the collection of 17 people were also presenting a really cohesive, conversational and like engaging show, it was important for us to have this common thread. And then that making process allowed us to kind of critique and conversate and create more of a community around the project.
Yeah, that's so, because as an artist, you're constantly going between projects and often, kind of like rushed into forgetting some or not being given this like space, especially after leaving art school. You don't have that as like that tight-knit community.
And the structure.
Really lovely once to leave art school, having that space where you feel, safe and confident to explore those maybe more like ideas that aren't so and so perfect, or like being given that like space for experimentation, which is really, really lovely. And you kind of briefly touched on it, but do you want to talk to me a little bit about the making process of the show? How did the group kind of approach the space of renewal alongside each other?
It was really cute because we all decided that we were super keen to run these critique sessions. And my flatmate had lovingly skimmed the walls in our garage. So guys, I got a white wall that we can put our stuff on. So we hosted, one crit session like at my house that was quite early, like after our initial meeting.
Mm.
And we just gave feedback. And because it was quite a condensed time of making, like we only made over the course of maybe 3 months. We were all really fluid and I guess like people were happy to be generous outside of those hours and offer critiques to people who couldn't make it because of like other commitments, and or like maybe they hadn't quite got their work to the point where they wanted to share it but they wanted a few notes. So it was a really, we have like this WhatsApp message chat that I send like 36 messages to at a time. And we just kept those communication lines open. And because we set that precedent at the beginning, like, I feel like there wasn't any coyness within the group. Like, we really allowed each other to take up space and, offer each other things. Because it's exciting to feel like you're being helpful with other people's making as well as, like, receiving
it. And it helps your own. It's, like, a very, like, looking at other people's work, it can, like, regenerate into your own work. And
totally.
Your own thing. It's such a beautiful circulative nature about it. And do you think that support and that carved out space for revisitization was particularly beneficial to the momentum of these interconnected art practices of these artists?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's probably like the most important part of that is like keeping you in a making mindset and like helping you like hold yourself accountable, because it can be so hard to be self-motivated, especially when you're not getting external feedback, because you're kind of just in this loop yourself. And if you kind of fall into more of like a self-deprecating space, you might be like, this sucks, and like you don't want to work on it. So I feel like now that we're kind of ready to show it, I see, maybe this is just my own bias because it's something that I'm interested in, but like the actual process of making the show is also a part of the work, because it fostering that community and all of that communication and all of that support has like helped us all grow, which like leans into the theme of like reflecting on your year and seeing what's changed. And
beautiful. And pivoting a little bit to your own art practice, do you want to tell me a bit about your existing work that you circled back to and what drew you to delve back into that specific work?
So I had a show which I've talked about on here quite recently.
Yeah, my co-host.
Exactly. So Jessica and I showed in my family home, and we showed a collection of photographs that were of friends in their flats with these big banners that I made. And Cheska documented the work, and we pinned one of them up on the cork board that's in my sister's childhood bedroom. And that screwed into the wall. And I saw the photo and thought, like, I'd love to make a cork board because my mum made me those. I had one in my room as well, and my dad, like, helped make the frame. So, the lovely folk at Blue collected heaps of corks for me. And then I drove down to Waihee, and my dad and I really haphazardly cut up some tortilla and started making this kind of janky, but like perfectly janky frame. And then I pinned all of this ephemera that I'd been collecting from, say, the Waihi AMP show and like Tim Webby's show at Coastal Signs. I'd been carrying his wee postcard around, and yeah, like something that was gifted from a friend, a little wishing fish thing. Yeah, so yeah, it was like recreating what my childhood bedroom looked like, but then kind of having it be in a new space, and then also influenced by Fiona Connor, as she had her work up in Coastal Signs, like through a lot of the time that I've been working there. And I really liked that whole like replication. And I feel like, yeah, that diaristic style, like, just worked well with the themes that we were working with.
Yeah, so this act of, like, yeah, revisiting something with this added, it's like you're collecting, like, experiences and different interactions and different engagements with all these different artists and, yeah, like, bringing them into the space of your previous project and really like amplifying it and having that like renewal like plunged into it.
Yeah, totally. I feel like sometimes I feel afraid to be too overly referential because I'm like, oh, I don't want to seem like I'm like stealing ideas or yeah, like not creating something that feels authentic to my own practice. But I feel, yeah, this was like a really nice way to kind of let that go a bit. And yeah, I feel, yeah, this kind of show is like a little bit of a purge, I feel, for some people to like let go of like discomforts that they have or yeah, gain some more confidence with things like that. So yeah.
And what was the install process like, having all these works come together in the space of the kit, seeing this collective circuit of renewal kind of come to a space of breath or like pause, to be presented in the show?
At the beginning, I was feeling so like worried that it would be difficult because there's concrete walls, and I was like, oh, like, are these works going to be like conversating with each other? But once all this work was in the space, so there's a really incredible work by Ziggy Humberstone, and it's, I don't want to spoil, but it's this quite large floor piece, and it's really intense, and it has like a kind of a magnetic force around it, and the colors in it just have activated so many pieces in the space. It was really cool to see that it like brought in different colors, and then also kind of is like, I guess, the nucleus of the circuit that, yeah, everything really does speak to each other, whether it's through material or through concept or just, yeah, like just pure aesthetics. Like, it's definitely come together in a way that's exciting, and I feel like can be kind of sometimes not always able to be achieved in like a group show of this nature, like when it's not like curated where you chose everyone. I think it's successful. I think everyone did really well.
Yeah. Wonderful. And what are your hopes for viewers coming to see the show and engaging with the works?
My hope always for a viewer, I suppose, that you'll feel inspired and you'll be able to like sense the energy that's coursing through the space. I kind of wrote that like it might feel like, for a viewer, it might feel like stepping into a garage full of someone else's stuff, because there's definitely this whole idea of like, yeah, like it's like you've hauled all these things out of the lockup and you're like, well, how should I put them together? Like, yeah, like just for each person with reflecting on their ideas. So yeah, I think, I hope people just have a bit of fun and engage and maybe feel a little bit inspired and a little bit more passionate. Thank you so much to ArtSpace for hosting us and facilitating us. And it's been really great being a volunteer.
That was curator of Portal, Millie Dunstall. Up next, I spoke to Tamaki-based interdisciplinary artist Emma Stretch, who is also one of the artists within the show. We spoke on her experience within Portal. Yeah, so here's the next interview.
Kia ora, I'm Emma Stretch. I finished art school at Elam in 2024, and my practice so far has been pretty printerly, a lot of paper making, typography, bronze casting, sort of thinking about ecology and language and time and identity, I guess.
Beautiful. And you are one of 17 artists included in Artspace Aotearoa's volunteers group show, Portal, showing at the Kit. The show has a beautiful circulative nature to it, with this idea of redeveloping an existing work for the show. Do you want to tell me a bit about your existing work that you circled back to, and what drew you to delve back into that specific work?
Yeah, the work I am revisiting, I made in 2024, 6 narrow aluminium etched plates that were hung continuously and engraved with the alphabet repeated over and over. And it was actually made really last minute out of the realization that my whole semester worth of CNC files had just not been correct and were no longer usable for the hand in the coming days. And these etching plates were like a weekend of intense just output in these drawings that kind of, it happened almost without my knowledge. And so it's kind of haunted me and fascinated me how it was born and still has a lot of kind of unsolved mystery for me.
So what was that first iteration of it, that thing that couldn't quite get done within that time, that CNC file?
It was supposed to be a whole type case of my handwritten like font CNC cut into wood with additional macrons on vowels for the hypothetical use of Tadeo in any typed work with the printmaking tool of the type itself.
Yes, and then you kind of had to do that last minute pivot into those etching.
Yeah, and they were the technical drawings just repeated and drawn by hand instead of with the CNC machine.
Wonderful. So this work seems to have a lot of revisitation already to it. But how has this work developed after being given this platform and space for revisitation now? Like what, 2 years? 2 years later almost?
It's very similar in terms of its form. It's still aluminium. It still has a very similar proportion of its scale, and there's still the same sort of discreteness about it because it's an etching plate. You can't really see the detail and the full picture until you're really up close. And I am leaning into the imagery and the kind of language of a ruler, which was something that kind of presented itself in the first work, and now I have really made a ruler with this work.
And what was the making process like for you for this, especially given the wonderful opportunity that you had to come together with past and present art space volunteers and, really into the space of shared experience to form this kind of interconnected space of revisiting and renewal as this, the really lovely collective, like individually, but like unified in that space. Yeah, do you want to speak a bit about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, first off, the making process was interesting. It was very sporadic and yet had to be really calculated and planned around these tiny splices of my time and other people's time to make this work outside of an institution with a lot of access to technical and technical equipment. And I mean, exhibiting in the Kit at Artspace with the cohort of volunteers of last year is really cool. We've all had to meet each other where our lives are now, outside of the kind of routine that art school can give you, and it's been really special to work alongside some dear peers from Elam and also some new peers as well. And I've been to so many openings and artist talks and workshops and exhibitions in the kit over the years that it's really, really cool that this is going to be part of that space now and become a part of the history of that room, that basement room.
Wonderful. And lastly, what are your hopes for viewers engaging with your work and also the overall show?
Yeah. I mean, with my work, I don't want to prescribe too much, but hopefully maybe some familiarity and a little bit of humour and relatability. And yeah, for the show, I hope that it articulates the variety of positions we come from and are working within, yeah, and making the effort to be together for the show, and that it's a concoction.
That was Emma Stretch speaking to me about her work within Portal. Up next, I spoke with Tamaki-based interdisciplinary artist Kiang Barrow, who also has work within the show. We caught up about her experience with the show and also her individual work. Here that is now.
So my name's Kiang, and I work across disciplines, I guess you could say, primarily interested in textiles at the moment. And also text. Yeah, I'm just interested in like learning from traditional like textiles and then like incorporating them into my own like personal stories, histories in a more contemporary way.
Yeah. Gorgeous. And you're one of 17 artists included in Artspace Aotearoa's volunteer group show, Portal, showing at the kit. Do you want to tell me a bit about your existing work that you circled back to for the show and what specifically drew you to, yeah, delve back and revisit that specific work?
So I revisited a work that I started, or like a body of work that I started in second year at Elim. And I was working with repurposed materials that I'd found around the house, and I was working with like natural dyes. And then I also taught myself like about Korean textile traditions, and I really enjoyed that process. So I wanted to get back into it because I think textiles are really fun to work with. And I wanted to see like what else I could kind of do with those materials and processes. And I wanted to like reintroduce text into my work.
And how has the work developed after being given this platform and space for revisitation?
I guess I've started to... So, like, originally it was more of a process of, like, learning the methods, like, directly from the traditions, but now I guess I'm translating them and I'm, like, adapting them more, like, adding my own elements and, like, also the first couple works that I made were collaborative, and now they're more like personal. I'm making them entirely alone.
Oh, wonderful. So you've shifted from this collaborative process from where the work began, but kind of bring it into a new collaborative space. Yeah, working within this kind of collective of these art space volunteers. What was the making process like for you, especially given that wonderful opportunity that you had to come together with past and present art space volunteers and into a space of shared experience to form this kind of interconnected space of revisiting and renewal?
Yeah, so it was really nice to be able to change my approach to a more material-informed process. I think I tend to, like, go into a new project thinking I need to, like, have all the conceptual ideas planned out and, like, know exactly how I'm going to achieve each thing, but for this project, I kind of just went straight into it without much of a plan and just let the materials kind of reveal the next decisions I needed to make. Yeah, it was quite refreshing to just take a break from having to justify every decision. I feel like I kind of fell into that for a while, and it kind of was a bit of a barrier of just experimentation. Yeah, and it was just nice to be like in a group like setting again. like talking about art and giving each other like inspiration.
And what are your hopes for viewers engaging with your work and also, yeah, the overall show?
I guess I kind of had to resist the urge to over-explain myself in this work because there are a few things that I wanted to do. I wanted to work with imagery and I wanted to, like, allude more specifically to... I wanted to ground the work to something that was very clearly Korean, and I kind of had to resist that urge because I think opacity, like, the opacity of, like I have this poem... embroidered into my textile work, and it's quite, it's not very, it doesn't really explain very much, it doesn't really reveal very much, and I kind of just had to be okay with that and just leave it as it was instead of kind of trying too hard to shoehorn in, like, ideas that I felt needed to be in the work. So, like, it's not going to immediately appear to be, like, a work that alludes to being a diasporic, like, Korean person in New Zealand, but, like, people who are familiar with those traditions are probably going to recognize it, but not everyone is. So I think that's kind of, like, how I want my work to be received.
Yeah. For people who do have that familiarity, feel comforted or feel that kind of connect. And for people who aren't familiar, to kind of, yeah, be a bit inquisitive and to see this thing maybe they haven't come across and kind of really appreciate its beauty, even if they may not be able to place it anywhere specifically.
That was Kyung Burrow speaking to me about her work within Portal. And before that, I spoke to Emma Stretch. And then before that, curator of the show, Millie Dunstall. Portal is currently on at The Kit until the 21st of February. Yeah, please go check it out. It's a beautiful show of emerging artists. And be sure that you'll find some inspiration there.
Various artists. So you can go to the opening for more than just the snacks.
We'll be right back, but in the meantime, we've got some songs for you, so enjoy.
I could see it all, so Wallao Radio, 2 hours of music from Southeast Asia and its diaspora, complete with spicy takes, close inspections, interviews, and everything in between.
Wallao Radio, Monday nights, 11 p.m. till 1 a.m. Brought to you by your hosts, Otto and JC, only on 95 BFM.
Wallawe!
What's it all for?
Various artists.
Fiona Connor is a Aotearoa-born artist currently based in LA. Connor has an expansive sculptural practice in which she produces site-specific installations that really play with the space's inherent architecture, developing this conceptually enriched sculptural language that seeks to shift objects and their environments through this process of reproduction. Her current show on At Coastal Signs, Blanket Games, includes 5 large-scale drawings of segments of hurricane fencing, in which Connor utilizes an alternative method of drawing, monoprinting, a method that demands a different kind of connection, allowing her to not only record the object of the fence itself, but also of her own body's movements during the making of the work. Smudges and scuffs made from the weight of her body while tracing the fence, intertwining with the woven marks of the lattice fence, creating a beautiful frottage of the body and its record of interaction. Alongside her individual practice, Connor is passionate about creating and being amongst artist-run initiatives. So in light of Connor's collaboration projects, I also spoke with her and Bailey Connolly about their latest artist-run collective, Polyhymnia. Here's the interview now. Enjoy.
My name's Fiona Connor, and I was born here in Aotearoa 1981. And I've kind of lived half my life between here and the west coast of America. So there's been 3 or 4 different, like, movements back and forth. And this last movement, I've been based in LA for about 16 years, and I've been lucky enough to consistently been making exhibitions in some form or another since graduating from Elam in, like, I guess 2004 or something.
Oh, beautiful. And you currently have a show that just opened at Coastal Signs titled Blanket Games, which presents a series of 5 large-scale drawings of lattice wire fencing. I'd like to start this conversation by speaking to the kind of beginnings of this project. Where did it kind of find its momentum? Did it come off the back of a previous work or kind of find its footing in something new?
I think, like, I've always found myself drawing and really, really enjoying it. And there are certain things that I really like to draw. And when I was, like, tramping, I'd, like, draw the chicken wire stretched over the boardwalks. And it was just so much, it was so graphic and fun to draw, the way it, like, stretched and kind of described space. And then I just, like, kept on finding similar subjects. So it really came from, like, this kind of, like, focus or pleasure from drawing. And then that, like, made me look at, like, the way that you look through fences at landscape, and, like, they become this kind of, like, moody grid. So I guess it kind of just came through looking and drawing.
Yeah, that fascination of those fences and kind of coming across them in your everyday life.
Like, both here and in Los Angeles, they're everywhere. And, like, when you're driving around, you just find yourself kind of, like, staring at them or walking around or whatever, and they become these, like, amazing abstract relational things. And I found that kind of, like, yeah, I guess you want to call it, like, a net or a lattice or a topology, like, kind of, for me, indicated, like, something that was very horizontal rather than something that was hierarchical. It was like a mesh. That was like a cool idea for drawing, something that was more of like a treatment or a weaving, as opposed to like something that was more pictorial or something.
Yeah, through this process, you've really taken this object and like flipped it on its axis, both physically and metaphorically. Do you want to speak a little bit to this act of shifting this fence and like what it does to that object itself and how we kind of normally see that object?
Yeah, so just to, I guess, fill people in, the show is like features these hurricane fence sections that are like standardized fences normally used by the construction industry to sort of like secure a lot. So there are these like fence sections, and for the show I drew them, and so I went to the fence supply and went through like their used fences, like their most damaged fences, and like selected the kind of ones with holes in them and like that were damaged. And so what the question was kind of about is like I took these fences that are normally kind of like cages or upright or walls, and then I lay them flat on the ground to draw them, and then I sat on top of them to draw them as well. So they became like platforms. And the weight of the fence and my body drawing them also like came through this carbon paper that I was drawing through.
Yeah, it's kind of, I noticed you've got these, these beautiful crisp lines of the fence, but also these really like rummagey scuff kind of, frottage and like tracing of your body, which I think is really beautiful. That's like that process doesn't only capture the objects itself, but your interaction with that object. Is that why you gravitated towards that print method of like monoprint?
Yeah. So I think like part of looking at fences was I was like, I just felt like they were really graphic, but there was also something where they framed the weather or like were very atmospheric. And so I was kind of interested in this like nuanced quality of them. They were kind of transparent or like they were porous. And so I guess the drawings are like both made by imprints, like the index of my body, and also by like drawing and tracing. And the idea of like that if when you combine those two kind of like lifelines of like trace, that maybe between them there is like something that feels evocative or, that feels like that grips you or grips your experience.
It's really lovely showing, I think maybe as a viewer, you don't often get to see all those little hidden traces and all those places where you've touched the work and you've interacted, and really, I think it brings it like kind of closer to the body, and you get like way more invested in it when you can kind of notice those little smudges or something that you don't think's quite going to be there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that like all over the gallery there are also these like signs of that we're living in a material reality where there's collisions and like incongruities and joins and decisions. So like in the gallery last night when people were hanging out against the wall, they left all these like smudges from rubbing.
I didn't know if that was you or just the people.
And then that like fully matched the drawing. And also like Coastal Signs is on Karanga Happy Road, which is like obviously like such a place of life and like supports so many different communities. But I'm also thinking about like the porosity of the gallery and like who enters and who doesn't, like how accessible is the work that gets shown in there. And like, I think I wanted to kind of like acknowledge the site, I guess.
And I really loved the install of this work, especially at the crowded opening. It was really interesting seeing how these bodies moved within the space. This decision to install the works on the gallery floor really creates this almost game-like mode of navigation for the viewer, weaving through these narrow channeled pathways of the gallery floor, almost herding the viewers into a mode of experiencing or engaging the show, pivoting their path as well as kind of pivoting the whole gallery space itself. What led you into this really interesting mode of install?
So I was like really interested in, I guess I'm really invested in exhibition making, and I think for me that is like shows that really reward in-person viewership and walking around a series of works in architecture. So like people call it different things, like a site-specific show or whatever. I mean, every work is site-specific, but some that I'm really interested in the exhibition form. But I found that like there was this kind of categorization that happened where if you want to make these like an exhibition that was site-specific or an intervention, it had to sort of be sculptural and heavy. So the show is like, I guess it for me it's about like what happens if a drawing show is an exhibition, what happens if a drawing show, I don't know, like is a performance, like it's linked to a place and a time, and it isn't about something that's archivable.
because drawing is like something that we can do by just picking up a pen. Like the paper in the show is like industrially produced paper. It was, yeah, so it was sort of like in this moment where everything feels so peaked in terms of like how much things cost, where their location is in the market. As artists, what, you know, how do we keep making and making the kind of work we want to make, which in my case is like working with architecture, but not having to make compromises for other security, I guess.
Seeing those like like those papers like you use in like primary school, art school, it's like something and seeing it's like it's not just one big sheet of paper there, you can see the connecting
tiled,
the link up together, which I think is really lovely. In this drawing show, they don't, like, it doesn't normally alter a space that dramatically.
Yeah.
And I think really at the opening, it really shifted and, like, all these little pathways and maybe created little moments of interaction that you wouldn't normally have with people having to be like, I'll move this way, you move that way. I think, it was
very really awkward.
Yeah.
And I heard that the other day somebody talking about, like, how art education is meant to be awkward, and awkwardness is a sign of learning. And I was like really thinking about my time at Elam and like just this kind of these moments where you're faced with something that you don't all the way know, but you can get a sense of.
And I also found the use of the weights very intriguing. These bronze casted objects of shoes, tape measures, screws, objects that one might find lying around an artist's studio, referencing the kind of behind the scenes installation process of a show. Was it important for you to point the viewer's attention to these kind of objects of labor rather than just use these generic weights?
I guess people have to go see the show and like see how it works for them, but I liked that they were kind of like two languages used. So the language of the drawings on the floor, like making pathways and like making territories and eddies and pools and stuff. And then this other layer of like these bronze cast paperweights that look like objects that you'd find around the gallery. And I guess why I think those are quite interesting. Like when I used to work in the garage with my dad, he'd like pull out, he like knew all the heaviest stuff. So he'd pick the little shoebox the shoebox that had all the screws and nails was like one of the heavy things. And like the clamps and the hammers and the chains. And like, so there was like in his mind, like a list of the heaviest things in the garage that you'd use to like weigh things down. And I always thought that was such a funny classification that, like, it's all about something's mass or volume as opposed to, like, what its intended use is. And I like this idea that, like, we can, like, different objects at different moments are legible for different things.
And I also wanted to do a slight pivot and talk to you about Polyamnia, a temporary collective, a year-long series of solo exhibitions initiated by you and Bailey Connolly, who was here. Would you like to introduce yourself also?
Yeah, I'm Bailey. I live in Los Angeles, and I'm an artist working primarily in sculpture and also have been thinking about drawing.
Wonderful. And do you guys want to speak a little bit about how this collective came to be?
Yeah, it's been like quite a long and natural itch that we've been scratching. So I guess essentially there was a very like natural coming together or like meetings of the minds that was, I'd say, like mostly visible in people's practices. And we, like Bailey and I, noticed that like sculptors that we were really like, I don't know, inspired is such a cheesy word, but like sculptors that we were super inspired by had like really important drawing practices. But those practices were often playing like
a
serving.
Like
serving their sculptural. And so we're in this moment when, as we were talking about this kind of like this art world questioning of what, how it is coming to the table. It felt really important to sort of elevate these like economic I guess, processes that, like, really show the hand, show working, show process. And, yeah, so we just kind of worked through a format. And then now we have this kind of dialed-in format. Yeah.
Wonderful. And do you want to speak a little bit about the plans for the collective, like what you have lined up for this?
Yeah, it's Fiona and myself, and then there's, I think, 8 other artists, 2 of which are working together sort of as one artist in the group. And then, so there's like 7 artists and then 7 different artist-run spaces. And we've sort of linked each of the artists with a space that feels natural for both of them. And then everyone's sort of situated pretty globally, spaced out, as are the spaces. And so over about what seems like it'll be 1.5 years, all of these people will have a solo show that's related to drawing, whether it's physically drawing or not. And Justin Tenney's show at Treadler, called Engine, will be the 3rd show in the series.
And since starting this collective, have you guys been meeting up and really leaning on each other and having like these discussions and kind of bouncing ideas between all the artists?
Yeah, so that was like part of it was like, I think like peer-to-peer support is like super important, and I think the form that takes at its most basic level is like an interest in each other's work.
Which is so crucial.
Crucial. So like we just kind of create like simple possibilities of sharing and response. I mean, working with like the artists in the group, everybody's like a kind of like a cat. In that, like, you can't force a cat to sit on your lap, but, like, you have a nice warm lap, it'll probably make its way and start massaging you. And or it might not. So it's kind of like herding cats starting a group of... it's been, like, so far, like, so, like, genuinely... it feels like there's a sort of a genuineness. And so we started with artist talk. So the first exhibition... hosted these talks and like gave every artist some money and we just kind of basically spoke to each other. So we shared our drawing practices with each other in a very small like group of writers and whatnot. And then after every show opens, we do like a walkthrough with the artist and a discussion. And then we also like print and publish dialogues, which are artist to artist. So we're really trying to like create a discourse, and then we have a mailing list of people that we send the dialogues to.
Yeah, I think there's lots of, I feel like it's based on conversation a lot, and as Fiona said, mutual support, and we're sort of creating ephemera and like sort of trails of things as it goes, and once all of the exhibitions happen, we'll, I think, put all of these materials into a catalog. And so that'll kind of be the next step, I think. And
That's so generous and welcoming. For you don't really see a lot of the discourse behind a show or between artists, and I think that's really lovely, opening up that space for younger artists or artists that aren't initially in that space of that discourse to get that invitation and that invite to create a wider knit community between all these ideas and people.
Yeah, and I think that's partly the artists we're working with too. So a lot of the people we work with make, perhaps you'd say, difficult work for the market, and there a lot of them have take pedagogy really seriously. So I think like the conversation is their discursive site or their feedback. And I think that's something that people share.
That was Fiona Connor speaking to me about her show on at Coastal Signs Blanket Games, which is on until the 14th of March. And that was also Bailey Connolly alongside Fiona Connor speaking to me about their artist-run collective Polyhymnia, which is currently presenting Justin Tenney's show Engine on at Treadler, which is on until the 13th of March. So be sure to check those out.
Because we were feeling a little extra, a little cunty.
We've got a little song for you. This is Comeback Kid by Sharon Van Etten. You're listening to various artists, and be sure to keep it on the B and come back for the Arts Guide.
It's the 95 BFM Art Guide on various artists.
It's paintings and that.
This week in the wonderful world of art in Tamaki Makaurau, a very busy one indeed. As mentioned on the show, Portal is currently on at The Kit, located in the basement of Art Space Aotearoa, and it is on until the 21st of February. Also mentioned on the show, Fiona Connor's Blanket Games is on at Coastal Signs until the 14th of March. Justin Tenney's Engine is on at Treadler until the 13th of March. Yvonne Todd's Diary of a Carrot is on at the Arts House Trust at Pa Homestead until the 22nd of March. Dreaming from Afar, a group show exhibition exhibiting works by Brunel Diaz Prims, Gian Manik, and Tyrone Tewa opens tonight at Gus Fisher Gallery from 6 to 8, so head along to that. Gordon Bennett and Emily Karaka After the Undercurrents is on at Art Space Aotearoa until the 11th of April. Grace Terry's To Look Twice is on at Melanie Roger Gallery until the 6th of March. Marama Taka, a group show of artworks by 12 Māori artists, is on at Tim Melville Gallery until the 7th of March. And Julian Dashba's Midwestern Unlike You and Me is on at Michael Lett until the 7th of March. A very busy one. If you have something you want on the Arts Guide, you can email us at arts@95bfm.com.
That was the 95BFM Art Guide.
Ko ere te hōtaka katoa mō tēnei wiki. Nei te mihi ki a koutou katoa e korero mai ki māua mō tēnei rā. That's all for us on Various Artists for today. Ngā mihi nui to everyone who spoke with me, Millie Dunstall, Emma Stretch, Kiang Barrow, and Fiona Connor, and Bailey Connolly. Nei rā hoki te mihi ki a koutou e whakarongo ana. Thanks for tuning in, and remember you can listen back to all of today's pieces on 95bfm.com or check out our Instagram at 95bfm Various Artists for more. Up next, we've got The Land of the Good Groove with Murray. My name is Maya, and that was Various Artists. We'll catch you next week. You're listening to 95BFM. Ka kite.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.